Now, when will this be live?
This will be live. I believe we're about 2 weeks out, so it's either 2 or 3 weeks. It'll be live, and
okay.
I think I reached out to connect with you on Facebook and LinkedIn, which I do with all my guests, so we can tag you, and then Stephanie will also let you know when it goes live so you can share it with your audience as well.
Perfect.
So what would make this a great interview for you?
Good questions, a good conversation.
Okay, well, I'm very conversational. You're going to like that.
Great.
So give me you got a good one sheet here. So do you coach trial attorneys? Is that what you're doing, like with the nonverbal communication skills and things like that? Is that how you serve your audience?
So I started by working with way back in education, but then my company for a long, long time was working with the corporate market. So coaching executives on presentations, working with training and government organizations or places like Nike, that kind of thing, who wanted, you know, types of seminars like how to get along with different types of people and those kinds of things. And then the Oregonian did a couple stories on me, and lawyers started to call and say, I wonder if you could help me pick a jury. And so that's kind of where the jury trial consulting started. And now about 90% of my time at Forte is working with trial attorneys. And then we have a whole other team that does this corporate coaching and training.
Okay. What I'm going to do is, right after the little quick intro here, I'm going to read like the first paragraph in your intro, and then I'm going to ask you to expand on it, because you just did a really great job. And if I was to read all four paragraphs, that'd be kind of long. So does that sound good?
Yeah, sure. Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. Let me just give a quick pause here and we'll get started. 5, 4, 3. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio. I'm your host, Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach, and this is the podcast to learn all about how to create your dream business so you, too, can live your dream lifestyle. I am the founder and creator of the Dream Business Academy and the Dream Business Coaching and Mastermind Program. I coach entrepreneurs and small business owners at all levels to help them build the business of their dreams. Today's episode is brought to you by Dream Business Academy. That is a 3-day event. The next one, our 7th event, is taking place in Providence, Rhode Island, September 27th, 28th, and 29th. It is a marketing and business building event where you will learn how to create a million-dollar platform, which is kind of the foundation of building your dream business. You can learn more at Dream Biz Academy, dreambizacademy.com. By the way, you can get $100 off your registration by using the coupon code podcast at checkout. That's dreambizacademy.com, coupon code podcast. And I'm really excited about this week's show. My special guest is Sari Delamotte, and I am going to introduce her and we'll bring her right on. As I said, Sari is the CEO and founder of a company called Forte. It's a communications consulting firm. She has trained extensively with internationally recognized authority in nonverbal communication and leads seminars based in nonverbal communication strategies throughout the United States. Her expertise is in helping professionals craft and deliver compelling messages, and who doesn't want that? Sari, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
You got a very interesting name. We were just chatting offline, and I'll tell everybody. You had to tell me 3 times to pronounce it correctly. But
I usually do. I've had to learn how to introduce myself. You know, when people say hi, I'm Jim. I say hi, I'm Sari, and then they immediately get confused. So now I have to say, hi, my name is Sari.
Why are you Sari? Right before you changed it. So you got a very interesting line of work. So you're an attorney yourself, is that right?
I'm not an attorney, actually. I am randomly a classically trained pianist with 2 advanced degrees in music, which is why I love being on your show, because you talk about building a dream business. There's absolutely no real logical reason why I should be doing what I'm doing now, but I do absolutely have the dream career. And I basically kind of fell into it randomly. I was doing a my graduate, postgraduate work and was heading off to get a PhD in piano pedagogy, how to teach piano, when one of my mentors said, hey, you need to go to this nonverbal communication training. It's a week long. And I thought, this is absolutely the last thing I ever want to do. But, you know, you do what your mentor tells you to do. And she said, she's really big on creating excellent teachers. And so, of course, part of teaching is presentation, and that's part of what this was. But I went expecting what I think a lot of people expect now when they attend our events. You know, I'm going to learn about body language and how to tell if someone's lying and all kind of that stuff out there. And instead, I went and found that it's all about how you yourself are communicating nonverbally and all the things that we're doing inadvertently that get in our way. And I was hooked. I literally checked my plans for getting a PhD, and I traveled around with this guy. I said, I will come wherever you are if you let me come for free. I just want to observe you. And I ended up taking that information and creating a training company that now works with corporations, executives, and as I was mentioning to you earlier, about 90% of my work personally at Forte is with trial attorneys.
So how did you fall? Well, first of all, what did your parents think? You're a professional musician, Paula, and then you're working with trial attorneys. That must have been quite a shock.
Yeah, well, you know, they're immigrants. That's where the name comes from. We're 100% Finn, and Finns are known for being tenacious and stubborn, and so this was nothing new to them. I mean, they always know I've gone my own way. I always joke that I've never had a real job. And so that's kind of they're entrepreneurs. I'm an entrepreneur. I've never wanted to have a boss, so they just went with it. They're happy that I'm happy, for sure.
Well, good for you. You know, I took a course, and I don't even remember the name of it. Easily 20 years ago, and when you were mentioning nonverbal communication, I was thinking there was something I learned called mirror and match somebody. You probably heard of that. It's probably pretty elementary.
Oh,
in what
yes,
you're doing,
we talk about that quite a bit in our work, because especially with our trial attorneys, you know, they're always looking for ways to quote unquote influence the jurors, you know, and get them to like them. And so they've been trained in this mirroring technique, you know, so if someone crosses their legs, you should cross your legs. And if someone, you know, crosses their arms, you should cross your arms. And, if, you know, I mean, how far are you going to take this? Someone, you know, picks their nose, you should pick your nose. I mean, it's a little bit ridiculous. I get where they're coming from, because we do talk in our work about how to communicate on the same nonverbal channel, quote unquote, as someone else. But I do think that there is a lot of stuff out there that is kind of in that manipulative, here's how I get people to do what I want them to do realm. And I think that's why body language, nonverbal communication, whatever you want to call it, has sometimes gotten a bad rap, because it's kind of fallen into this voodoo, you know, that I can perform on other people to get them doing things that I want them to do. And that's so not what we teach at Forte.
So you got all this training that kind of, you were kind of mesmerized and just like, wow, this is really cool. And I know you got a new program called Beyond Trial Prep, How to Emotionally, Mentally, and Physically Prepare for Trial. What got you like into the niche of trial lawyers? I mean, because there's lawyers and there's like all different kinds of lawyers, but is it trial lawyers because, as you say, their job is to really influence the jury in most cases? Or
yeah, I think, you know, as I started to grow the business, we got some media attention, and our local paper here did a couple of stories, and the Atlantic did a story, Huffington Post, and so that's really I never went looking for that market. You know, I always make the joke of who wants to work with lawyers, but so they kind of came to me, and I love my attorneys, and said, hey, can you help with choosing a jury? And so my first response to that was, no, I'm not going to do the, okay, this juror is, you know, picking their left earlobe, so that means they're bad for you, you know, all that kind of stuff that I don't believe in. But what I will do is help you communicate with the jury that you have. In fact, I've kind of gotten the nickname the attorney whisperer, because I help attorneys communicate with jurors. It seems that they've had that worked out of them somehow in law school, that point of how to have a conversation. I mean, that's really what voir dire or jury selection is all about. I remember having a lunch with an attorney a couple months ago, and he said, I hate the jury selection process. It's just so nerve-wracking. I never feel prepared. And I said to him with all seriousness, how much did you prepare for today's conversation? And he laughed. He said, I didn't. I said, well, this is what I'm saying is we improvise and we have conversations all the time, when we order coffee, when we do all these things. But somehow when we get into the trial space, because the stakes are so high, we make this what should be a great conversation and learning about our jurors into this arduous process for both the attorney and the juror. And so much of what we do is try to make that process easier by having the attorney kind of access what they're communicating non-verbally, but really access their person, who they are, so they're not lawyer guy or lawyer gal.
So I know they're – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was saying that nobody wants that.
Okay. Yeah, I remember a movie a long time ago. I've been sitting here trying to remember the actor, but I think it was called The Juror. And there was so much – I mean, there was actually like they were videotaping. I think somebody had an earpiece or talking about different things. But there's also a television series, Bull. I think you're familiar with that, right? As far
I
as
am.
Jury selection.
I should watch it. Yes.
How do you approach, like, when you're training the trial attorneys how do you train them to approach jury selection so, you know, they can get the most favorable jury they can?
Well, I think, you know, part of the problem is that they've all been trained that they have to make a connection. And so what they do is they go into the jury room or the courtroom in front of that prospective number of jurors, and they try to have relationships. So they do, in my mind, stupid things like asking, hey, what are your hobbies? You know, what have you been reading lately? And here's the problem is that every single communication situation falls into one of two buckets. You're either tending to the relationship or trying to create a relationship, or you're discussing or hashing out an issue. Every single communication situation falls in one of those two buckets, issue or relationship. And what trial attorneys need to understand is that all jurors, all of them, start in the issue bucket. They are there against their will. They can't choose to be there. They are wondering why they're there. They are not there to have a relationship with you. And so when you come in and you ask, hey, what are your hobbies? The juror is thinking, what the hell does that have to do with anything? I don't know you. I don't want to be friends with you. I mean, there's already such high alert for any type of manipulation. So they hear that question. They go, oh, boy, here we go. It's like taking a group of hostages and asking what their favorite ice cream flavor is. You know, it doesn't work. So we talk a lot here at Forte, and this is true in the corporate market or in the legal market, about permission. You know, and we don't mean verbal permission. So, may I have your permission? Or, you know, when you're a kid, can I have a cookie, Mom? I'm talking about nonverbal permission, how receptive people are to us. And so when you come into a courtroom, you have zero or very little permission with jurors. So what you need to do is to meet them where they are, get straight to the issue. So if you can walk up in the jury selection process and say, this case involves a car crash. So let me ask, how many of you have been involved in the car crash? Most jurors just take that big breath and they go, well, finally, I've been waiting 2 or 3 hours. I don't know why I'm here. Here's someone who knows what they're doing. And you've now increased permission, so you have a little bit more receptivity with each question that you ask. But we tend to reverse that, thinking I've got to go all relationship and try to get them, you know, talking and laughing. And you can get there, but so much about communication is about timing. And we know that jurors love to learn. So if you just give them a little bit before you ask the question, you'll find that it's so much easier to get people talking. If you give them a purpose for why we're here, if you try to have this fake kind of relationship, hey, let's get to know each other as friends, no one's buying it. That's not why we're here. And so I think that's the number one problem that most trial attorneys have. And they've been taught to do that. It's not because they're stupid or they don't know what they're doing. They've been taught to do that.
Well, keep going on. What does that mean in practical terms? Like, and you know, if there's, is there any practical application for entrepreneurs? I mean, you know, I think your trial attorneys want to. I mean, their end goal is to have some influence or get a relationship with a jury. But let's face it, as small business owners, we all gotta get along and meet people and get them to like us, know, like and trust us. So how can that work?
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. It's the same thing. In fact, I think that's why I was able to make the change from music to corporate to legal, because it's the same. It's just the context that changes. So for the entrepreneur, for the business person, I find that most people tend to fall personally into one of the other buckets as far as their comfort zone. So you're either more relationship oriented or you're more issue oriented. And so if you are more issue-oriented, for example, and you meet with another issue-oriented person, let's say that's a client or a boss or even your local barista, you're going to be fine. And the same thing is if you're more relationship-oriented and you meet someone else who's more relationship-oriented, you'll be fine. The problem becomes when those two things mismatch. So you have a relationship-oriented person who meets with an issue-oriented person. And so, of course, the relationship-oriented person thinks, man, that issue-oriented person is so mean and terrible and awful and they're unfriendly. And the issue-oriented person thinks, oh, my gosh, this relationship person, like, get over the small talk. Let's get to the issue. Don't waste my time. And so when we train corporations or we go in and we work with executives, what we say is you've got to be able to identify who you're talking to. That is betrayed non-verbally. And then you need to switch into that mode, because that's the second piece, is that no one is relationship or is issue. We all have both. We just have a kind of a resting place, one where we feel a little more comfortable. But I've never met anyone who can't do one or the other. And in fact, if you want to be an excellent communicator, you've got to be able to access both your relationship side and your authoritative or issue-oriented side. And so both of those things get communicated nonverbally. For example, we know that issue-oriented individuals tend to use what we call more authoritative nonverbal communication. So if they're standing, they're going to have weight over both feet. If they're using gestures, their palms are going to face down instead of up. Their head is going to be pretty still as it sits on top of their shoulders. And because of that still head, they're going to use a voice pattern that curls down, kind of what I'm using now, which is called the James Bond voice pattern. Bond. James Bond. So if you see that authoritative body language, you can almost always expect that this person, at least in that moment, is expecting and wanting you to get to the issue. So how do you increase permission? Well, go there. So not only adopt authoritative body language and voice pattern yourself, get your weight even, turn your palms down, use that authoritative voice, but also get to the issue. And that's what we call rock star communication here, is that you can both read it and then adapt to it. In fact, the way that we say nonverbal intelligence, we define it, is it's your ability to be both aware of your communication and other people's communication, the ability to adapt so you can do what needs to be done and then remain authentic, because as we say, most everyone can do both of these things. Now, the flip side is also true. If you see someone who is in a relationship, you're going to see something like approachable body language. So the weight is not going to be even. They'll probably be leaning over to one side. The palms, when gesturing, are going to face up. The head is going to tilt to the side, or it's going to bob. And because of that bobbing head, you're going to get a more rhythmic voice pattern, kind of what I'm doing right now. It tends to curl up at the ends of sentences. And we call this the Mr. Rogers voice pattern. Won't you be my neighbor? And so this is when you see that, you're going to have to spend more time. You're going to have to maybe go to small talk. Also adopt your nonverbals to, or adapt your nonverbals to be more approachable and so on and so forth. And it reminds me of a meeting. A lawyer said, hey, you need to know the HR director in this local city here. And they were friends. And so he did an email introduction between the two of us. And I'm thinking it's a social call. So I say, hey, let's have coffee. And she says, over email, I don't do coffee, which should have been my first clue. She said, why don't you come up to my office on such and such date, such and such time? So I said, okay. So I get up there. I lean back in my chair as we're sitting across from each other, and I say, so how do you know John? I'm totally approachable. I'm thinking we're there to get to know each other. She says, with this voice pattern, We went to law school together. I understand that you have a training called Don't Shoot the Messenger about how to deliver bad news. How much is that? Now, I had a choice right in that moment, as every entrepreneur is listening right now has the choice. Most of us tend to go, oh, we can talk about that later. Let's just get to know each other. But if you're non-verbally savvy, you will see that and go, boom, this person is issue-oriented. Now let me switch. I immediately got to the front of my chair, put my feet flat on the floor, curled my voice down. I said, yes, we do. Here's how much it is. What were you thinking? And the whole time in my head, I'm going, I didn't know she was even thinking about purchasing training. This is crazy. So we sat there in issue mode for a while, worked out the details. And then, and here's what's important, she leans back and she goes, so how do you know John? And now that was my cue to go, oh, now it's time for a relationship. And I said, well, we worked together on a case and so on and so forth. And so that's what I think most people are missing, is that idea of both observing the nonverbal cues people are sending you and then meeting them where they are. I mean, this happens all the time. I go to buy a TV at Sears, and, you know, the salesperson walks up, and he's in sales mode. He's like, hey, how are you doing? But I'm in issue mode. I've got printed out. I want this TV. I know they have it. And I say, I'd like to get this TV. Does he go and get it? No. He goes, where are you going to put it? Oh, that's a great TV. And he's just constantly relationship. Well, as this is happening, permission is just sinking lower and lower and lower. So I think for salespeople, for entrepreneurs, for attorneys, it's all the same. It's, can you read the person that you're with? And again, those nonverbal things I just tossed out there, I'll give your audience a place they can go and actually download some information to help with this. But it's actually really simple. Once you start to think about this, it starts to become pretty easy to identify these cues. And then you start meeting people, and you'll find your permission just goes through the roof. I mean, there's a reason why I work with the top travel attorneys and I have 2 degrees in music. It's because I could put on those authoritative nonverbals if I know what I'm talking about. If I walked in and was like, oh, well, you know, I'm really good. You should trust it because, you know, I used to be a teacher. Man, I would not even be doing what I'm doing today. And I find that that's pretty true with most entrepreneurs, is we tend to wait until someone gives us permission to do the things we want to do instead of going out there and acting accordingly, and then people want to buy from us. We need to really change our nonverbal body language, I believe, to really get where we want to go.
Cool. Well, I got time for one more question. Sorry. So I think you've said that following up after a job interview is a bad idea. Why is that?
Well, I wouldn't say following up is a bad idea. So to be more clear, in my book, I talk about how you don't want to call after. And maybe this is a little bit because I'm more of the issue-oriented person, but I think the reason people call is to remind the interviewer about who they are. And I can tell you right now that the interview is going to remember you, or they won't. Meaning, if you're not very memorable in the interview, calling later isn't going to do anything where they're like, oh, that's right, that person was great. What am I thinking? I forgot about them. It just doesn't happen. In fact, it tends to annoy the HR manager or the hiring manager because they are like, okay, yeah, I know who you are. Now, having said that, a handwritten note, absolutely perfect touch. Great interview, send a note the next day. It's just, it's so old school. It's like when we used to, you know, email first came out, we're all excited. Now, like, our email inboxes have hundreds of emails. We get a handwritten note, we're like, oh, goody, a note. So I really don't think it's two things. What's the purpose? Why are you calling to, or why are you trying to follow up? If it's just as a thank you for the interview, thank you for your time, handwritten note does great. If you're trying to call and remind them of who you are and check on the progress, that to me comes off as annoying and not very confident.
Gotcha. Well, this has been quite informative. Sounds like you got quite a niche business going. You certainly know your topic very well. How can people connect with you and learn more about you?
Where our website is www.nonverbalforte.com, and when you're there at our website, there are a variety of things that you can do. If you go to our store, there's some free things that you can download, like we have a body language reference sheets for some of the things I talked about today. But we are offering a special offer for people on your call today. If they go to nonverbalforte.com/pump-up-the-volume, we have a brand new book, and we're going to give it away as an ebook to those people who come to that page. It's words of inspiration for living a big, bold life. And so if you want to go to nonverbalforte.com/pump-up-the-volume, you'll get a free copy of that book, and that will hopefully help you get on the path to kind of owning your greatness and then being able to communicate that nonverbally.
Well, that's great. Thank you very much for offering that, and thanks for coming on my program. I really, really appreciate meeting you.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. Hey, folks, thanks for checking in for another episode of Stick Like Glue Radio. Thank you to Dream Business Academy for sponsoring this show. Again, you get $100 off your registration using the coupon code PODCAST at checkout, and that is at Dream Biz Academy, dreambizacademy.com. Thank you to my editor's assistants and all of my Dream Team members for making what I do look so doggone easy. I'm your host, Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach. I'm, as always, committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster, and I'll see you next week. Take care, everybody. Sorry, thank you very much. That was a good interview.
Great. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I hope it's helpful to your audience.
I do, too. And as I said, I think we're at least 2 weeks out. We're probably 3 weeks out from this point. But we'll connect, and you'll probably get an email from Stephanie, and we'll let you know when it goes live.
Great. Thanks so much, Jim.
Have a good afternoon. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.